Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 271 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you. How are you, young lady?
I'm okay, Jason.
You sound like you're in a toilet. What's going on? Ah, you're on Skype.
Don't say that.
You're on Skype. No, that. Why? What are you referring to? Oh yes,
Stop
you've been
it.
You've been a little unwell, haven't you?
Just a little. I'm feeling better now, to be fair.
That's good. I'm sure there's nothing left of you, to be fair. But you means you're joining us by the magic of Skype this week.
I am indeed.
So good to have you with us as ever.
Laughing.
You are.
Everybody's laughing.
That's the way life is. So what's coming up on the show?
Well, we're going to be speaking to Jeff Tristram as his exhibition 40 Years Watching Paint Dry is drawing to a close.
Yep, that's over at Himley Hall. In the studio, we have music. So you're missing out a live musician in the studio and everything.
I know. I normally like the live musician.
You do. It's got a matching surname to you.
I know, I noticed.
Yeah, Connor Turner, hello.
Hello, hello, how are you?
I'm good, you all right?
I'm not too bad.
Good. You got a guitar?
I hope so.
Yeah, you do know how to use it, because we'll cover this bit now. We found you singing on the streets of Wolverhampton on Saturday, didn't we?
You did indeed. I was there jamming along and up you came.
You just picked him up, Jason.
Yeah, we brought him in and said, you come and sing on the podcast for us this week. So we'll be hearing from Connor a little bit later on. What else we got?
We are going to be speaking to Dean Elliott, who is in the Simon and Garfunkel story at the Robin 2 in a few weeks' time.
Yes, hearing from him. And also I'll be talking to Katrina Maguire from Wolves Community Trust about their current health initiatives. But first of all, tell me about your X2 arrives at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham, 2nd through to the 6th of September at 7:30 in the evening. There's a 2 o'clock matinee as well on Saturday. And to find out why you want to go and see it, let's take a little listen to the start of the show.
1 week into dating me, my Hungarian boyfriend got pneumonia. I visited occasionally, but he was concerned I'd get infected. 4 weeks later, he told me he wasn't coughing his lungs up anymore so we could meet. Over coffee, he delightedly told me that he'd been misdiagnosed. In broken English, he let me know,
"Actually, darling, I think I'm allergic to you."
He might have been joking. Either way, he's been 100% healthy ever since.
My ex is like the 80s. Thank goodness it's over and gone. I've still got the crease in the jeans to prove it.
He's not technically an ex, which made it more annoying when he said we are officially broken up.
I haven't ever had an ex. I quite like one. One morning, after a sleepover at my new boyfriend's house, I couldn't find my knickers. I was running late for work, so I just left without them. But the next time I was there, I was searching for something and came across a drawer full of knickers, including mine. Safe to say I didn't see him again after that. It was all a bit too serial killer for me.
My ex couldn't cope with my past as an erotic dancer. Strange, as it was my swinging hips which attracted her in the first place.
Tell me about your ex arrives at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham on the 2nd of September. To tell us more about it this time round, as it has visited before, we have Robert Ball, director. Hello.
Hello.
So this is a sort of second incarnation of this show.
Yes, that's right. The show was first out last year here with the Old Joint Stock. I wasn't involved in that one. I've been brought in this time round. But it's the same cast, the same author, who you're going to speak to in a moment. But a lot of new stories. We've saved some of the best from last time, but we've got in a lot of new stories, a lot of fresh material, and reworked the show from scratch.
Yeah, I suppose when people came to see it last time, it suddenly spurred them on to get the pen and paper out.
Yes, we had a lot of submissions apparently on the night last year, and we're hoping for that again this year. We're keeping an improvisational aspect towards the end of the show, which will work around the best stories collected on the night from the audience, and they will then work their way into the show as it goes along. So by the end of the week, it will be a fairly different show from the beginning of the week. It'll be refreshed as it goes along. And new for this year as well is that it's playing for a week here in Birmingham, Tuesday to Saturday, two shows on Saturday. Then the following week, we're taking it down to Croydon, where it's going to play for the best part of a week. And then after that, it's coming to Stratford-upon-Avon. So it's going on tour this year. So it'll not just be Birmingham, West Midlands-based stories, but not exactly international, but a bit more national.
It could happen next. Who knows where you're going to be finding yourselves. And what's it like trying to direct the improvisational bit? Do you sometimes stand at the side thinking, oh, no, I wish they hadn't done that?
You can't really direct it. All you can do is practice and hope that it, you know, you don't offend the audience on the night. They won't. They're a great cast. They won't do that. The improvisational night is just about employing techniques and getting them used to doing it and ready for whatever comes out of the box on the night. My job's really to sort of give it an overall flavour for the evening. So by the time they get to that point, they can try and keep the mood of the whole piece going through the improvisational section.
So the man who's given himself the writing credits for this show is Tim Jeffries. And I say giving yourself the writing credits because you didn't have to do too much work, did you?
More work than you'd think, I think it's fair to say. Now, what I've done is I've provided the idea in the first place and the structure of it as well, trying to create a balance between sections where you have four stories or sections where you have two stories intermingled, sections where you have monologues, etc., and to give it an overall flow and a shape, because you do want to make sure that the sadder aspects are balanced out by happier stories, etc. So making sure there's an overall mood and a flow and a structure to the whole thing. But yes, you're right, it is verbatim stories completely. We haven't changed the material that's been given in, but we've tried to treat it with respect when that's needed and give it an overall shape and purpose. But you do have to allocate the material among the actors as well, which is also very important.
Yeah, and obviously you worked with these guys last year, so you know what their strengths are, and you've developed that through the rehearsal process both then and more so now, I suppose.
Absolutely, exactly, yeah. You know, when you know the people and you know how well they can work with each other, then you think, well, yes, that story is going to go to Robert Lane, or that story is going to go to Georgia Christodoulou, or that person, that's definitely going to go to Nadi Kemp Safi. We've been very careful to make sure that all the actors get a monologue each. They also work with each other, if you see what I mean. So the four combinations of people work together, and also there's a story which they all share. They share one story, which is particularly good, and that was quite carefully worked out in terms of who'd play which bit of the story, because it's one monologue but it's split up among four people, so you have to be careful about who does which phrase.
And as Robert mentioned, you're getting new submissions throughout the night, and then are you sharing some of those out then for future performances?
Yeah, that's right. The idea is that the script never stays the same. So on the Tuesday night, we'll do the script as it is. We open the Xbox when the audience stories are read out. And then the following night, some of those stories from the previous night will be incorporated into that script. And then we did the process all over again. So it means that the show this year is, I would say, 80% completely different from what it was last year. Because most of the stories we had last year, we don't need anymore.
But your favourite ones you want to hear again, though?
There are some favourite ones you want to hear again. And there was one character who went down, I don't think he's giving anything too much away, really, went down particularly well last year. And the joy is that the guy who wrote it came to see it and enjoyed it so much that he's given us another one. So that character comes back.
Tells you more about him than it does about these exes.
It probably does, but it's lovely because that it went down so well that he's been happy with the experience and given us more. You know, I was absolutely thrilled that he did that, so, which is lovely again. And hopefully that will continue to happen. I hope that people will find it a cathartic experience, and once they understand it, write stuff after and see that we are treating it respectfully and we're not just mucking about. And I think it was a cathartic experience for the audience, actually. I think they did enjoy it.
I haven't seen a bit of a preview today. Certainly there were clearly some serious stories in there, as well as the fun side of things as well. So most people can identify with this in some way.
I think everybody can identify with it in some way, even if you haven't got an ex, which is quite rare. There is one person who hasn't had an ex, but we're quite like one. But apart from them, most people have got an ex, and I think even if you haven't, there's something in there you can relate to, or there's something in there that you will have heard about. And a lot of it is things that you rarely see dramatised on stage, actually. You know, there's some stories which are very private and personal, and we can all relate to them, and they make a great deal to us, but they're not necessarily put on stage. People just think, oh, that's not worth sharing, but it absolutely is, and it can be as dramatic and exciting as anything else. And it's live theatre, that's the best thing. You know, in terms of new writing, it doesn't get newer than someone writing it in the bar at 7:30 and we put it on stage at 9:00. That's, you know, an hour and a half. That's brilliant. And the audience love that as well, because it means they get to be a writer for a bit and they get to, you know, hear something read out and they see the actors in rehearsal and they just love that.
And two of the cast join me now. They are Nad and Rob. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
And what's it like being in a production like this?
Well, it feels very familiar. It feels a bit like home, because we did this show last year, and so we became a very tight-knit group of people. Occasionally, the audiences would ask whether we were a company. We thought, actually, that's a great idea. So it feels like we've just all come back together again. And so, you know, the excitement's just welling up all over again, and it's very nice.
Alex, it is, you know, a kind of relationship thing. So what was it like at the end of the relationship last time round? Did you feel that you'd now got another three exes to deal with?
Yes, absolutely, especially Robert here. No,
quite clingy.
Yeah, no. No, I didn't manage to dump them, actually, in spite of having a play full of, you know, everyone leaving each other, we actually stayed very close for the few months in the meantime. We were looking for other opportunities to put the show on, other venues and such. But the Old Joint Stock were really eager to put X2 on themselves. Mm-hmm. So we sort of waited it out for the next summer. But hopefully, even at the end of this show, it won't be the very end of our story, because people keep on being dumped. And so, people's stories keep on coming, and we'd love to tell them.
There'll be something different, something new. And I mean, Rob, wherever you go, you take music with you. So there is a musical number at the end of this, and it must be quite nice having a little sing-song about this sort of stuff too.
Yeah, it's great. It was a bit of a surprise last time around, really. As I understand it, one of the reasons that I got cast was for the music side of things, but it turned out that the other three are all musicians as well. I don't think anybody knew that at the start. Maybe I wouldn't have got the gig otherwise. So we wrote a song last time around, and we did some musical bits, and we've done the same this time, although the song this time around is mostly verbatim ideas that were either in the show last year or haven't made it into the show this time around. So there might be the odd one-liner that are now in a song, and we've written a chorus to sort of start it all off. And there's a couple of other musical bits that we do. But it's just a great way of getting a lot of stories out in 3 minutes. So that's quite good, you know. So you might hear, if you've submitted a story, you might hear a bit of it as part of the X song.
So what's the total length of the show normally about? Because it changes each night, doesn't it, depending on what comes out the box?
It does. We have a suspicion that the first half is 40 minutes long, and I suspect that the second half is half an hour or so. Yeah. I think it'll probably come to about an hour and a half without the intermission.
But that's a lot of stories, though, isn't it? Because, you know, someone's story about parting ways could take seconds.
Yeah. That is absolutely true. And I think that's one of the challenges for us, is that because this show is so different from the last show, you know, audiences who come this time will hear different stories, is that we've had to create completely new characters. We have brought a few favourite characters back, but other than that, you've had to think, you know, characterisation, think, where are they from in the country? What does that piece of paper with words on it say about the personality? And so that's been a massive challenge, trying to think of ways of, you know, approaching each of these real people on stage.
And when we sat down and worked it out the other day, I think each of us is playing like maybe a dozen characters through the course of it, which they might only be that character for a couple of seconds, but that's quite a lot of people to try and approach in a different way without it just becoming, oh, let's do all our 12 different voices that we can do. So, you know, it's the thing about characterisation stuff. Some of the stories are a little bit similar. You sort of find that there's obviously universal things that happen to a lot of people. There's a lot of dumpings going on. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of first loves. There's some nice stories. I mean, although it's called Time Back Your Ex, there's a couple of stories in there which are like, well, she's here with me tonight because we're still married. So you've kind of misunderstood. But that's quite a nice, story. So yeah, a lot of the same sort of things come up, so it's approaching them in different ways, although obviously the individual characteristics of each story is a little bit different.
And who's your favourite character that you play?
Oh, the favourite character that I play? Well, there's a guy who drowned his car on holiday 1 year, and that story was in last year, and it seemed to go down well, and he submitted another story this year. And the funny thing is in the meantime I've met, because obviously it's completely anonymous when people send stuff in.
Yeah.
But I bumped into him somewhere, and he said, oh, you did my story. And I said, which one? And he told me which one. I was like, oh, no. Because it was one that I had sort of... Basically, my rule with it is, if they've written something in an attempt to be really funny, I'm quite happy to take the mickey a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And if they've sent something in that's very honest and serious, and maybe they've never told anyone before, you treat that with a slightly different way. His story had been written really beautifully to be funny, so I made a character out of that. So when he met me, he says, oh, that was my story. For a minute, I was like, oh, dear. And he says, no, it was good, I loved it. And he sent another one in. So he's cool.
He doesn't hate you, which is good.
No, he's happy for us to do it again, so that's good.
Yours?
Well, actually, a lot of my characters are my favourites because of their relationships with the other characters on stage. There are a couple of scenes where two characters are speaking to each other, even though their stories are completely separate. But our sort of composer-writer, Tim's, managed to sort of splice them together, so they're almost having a conversation. And so there's one particular one who's having a date, but is refusing to talk about, you know, the weather, but instead is talking about her ex. And it's that sort of...
As people do on dates.
Exactly. So I think those are the bits that I really like, is when characters almost break out of themselves and talk with the other characters on stage. And I think that's rather clever, so... That's my favourite.
So Richard and Georgia are with me now, and I'm going to ask the last question I asked the guys before to you first. And who's your favourite character that you played during the production?
Possibly the Colmore Row girl that I've got, because she's a Brummie and she's very light and fluffy and airy, and then she sort of loses a sparkle at the end, and it's quite sad, really. Oh. which so that's probably my favourite right now.
A nice one to explore. Yeah. Richard?
My favourite is a character who's credited in the script as Evil X, and he's actually, yeah, he's actually the person in the relationship who he admits was the evil one of the relationship. He was the one who caused it to break down. He was the one who was at fault, and he admits that. And I just think that's really exciting because there are a few stories like that, but it's one of the ones that stands out, and he seems very guilt-ridden in it. And I think it's a great exploration of that side of a relationship.
And you're all kind of taking pleasure in some ways from the fact that people are split up, so you might feel a little bit bad about that. I mean, but obviously they wanted to share, and it's a good way of getting off your chest. Have you not been tempted to submit a story yourself just so you don't feel quite so guilty?
There is one of mine in there.
Oh
yeah.
Which one? Come on.
I don't know whether I can. It might be against the laws of Tim's.
No. Yeah, that'd be very naughty. Okay. But I would say it is anonymous, so it's when people come along. Do you get to play yourself in this?
I do get to say my one, actually.
Ah, so they've got to look out for you looking a bit more serious about something.
Of genuine fear and tears, maybe.
But, I mean, when it comes to working through these, have you, spotted bits in these stories and think, I know someone like that?
Definitely. There's some moments where, especially when you can hear a younger voice, it, like some of the conversations that I've had with friends and stuff, it's very similar. And you think, oh, that was like so-and-so the other week, or, oh, that was me 2 weeks ago, or whatever. So it's very, you can relate to them quite easily.
And when you're reading through the stories, you're picking up the plot lines, how does the voice come into your head? What triggers it first, do you think?
There's sometimes, and Richard will agree with this, an accent that you can hear with the way people have written it. Which one is yours that is the most obvious accent that you've got? Because there was one that just stood out immediately.
It's very true. I mean, I like to just experiment and play around with it all and probably sound like a complete crazy person to my neighbours. But there are some where you can tell very much. There is a character who is talking about the World Cup. And for me, it just screamed a certain accent, and he ends up being a kind of fanatical Liverpool fan, which just made sense to me, I think. And, it uses occasional, I won't say the word stereotypes, but familiar people that you see every day, I think, on TV, in real life. And I think that rather than, condemning or making fun of these types of people, it glorifies that, and it makes you realise just how universal this subject matter and the stories that are being told are.
And it's kind of a show without costume changes as well. It's all got to be done through the way in which you're delivering it. And do you fancy dressing up and with some of these characters? Do you think that would make a difference?
Sometimes we have thought about having a few different things, but then it's like the convention of, do you carry that on through the whole thing? And then how many props would we have? I mean, I counted the list of voices that I've got, and I think it's about 28 at the moment. So that'd be 28 different bits of...
You'd be doing it with hats, and that's about it, really, wouldn't you?
And then you'd run out of hats, I think, eventually. So.
And are there any bits that you listen to that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, when whether it's you that has to do the line or somebody else, you're thinking, no, I feel so sorry for that person?
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. I think there are a few characters who, for me, I think, wow, that's really bad, really. But of course, at the time, when for the most part, I think people don't know when they're doing bad things. So it's interesting to, it's really exciting actually when you get to play a character who you don't agree with, and then to try and find the justification for what they're doing. And yeah, some of it is a bit uncomfortable and a bit risque and a bit controversial. But I think that that's all part of this massive variety of stories that we are telling. But it is really fun to get into the meat of looking at those controversial ones and finding out what makes these people tick.
Your relationship's too far gone to save. Are you missing Dave? Nobody will understand, but we're here with a helping hand. Make the hurt less, get it off your chest. Tell me about your ex. Once you've started, it feels cathartic. So tell me about your ex.
Let's tell me about your ex too at the Old Joints Stock Theatre.
Yep, tickets are £10, as I said. Box office 0121 200 0946, oldjointstock.co.uk for more info. And yeah, Google them to find out about the other venues they're playing at as they head around the country. Now, here in the studio, Connor Turner. How are you doing, sir?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Now, we did mention the fact we found you bussing on the streets of Wolverhampton.
You did indeed.
And this requires permits and all sorts, doesn't it? You were telling me. What's going on there?
Well, the permits is more of an agreement between the council of the fact of if we don't take the mickey with them, they won't take the mickey with us.
Right.
So, although you are supposed to have a permit, it's not actually by law that you need to.
Right.
However, if you don't and someone says, can you move along, you just...
have to move along.
Yeah, you just move along.
So you want to be officially there. And you'll play for a couple of hours on the streets, won't you?
Play from usually, get there for about 9:30, start about 10-ish, grab some breakfast, and then finish at about 2-3, depending on how the day's going.
And I know you've been doing this for a while, but obviously you were singing with Emily.
Yep.
Then the weekend. She's not too well at the moment. She's got a bit of a sore throat.
No, she's not.
But so you're coming just to play on your own tonight. But do you find that you're both down there and your friends and family are coming past to say hi and other shoppers are stopping you?
Well, obviously being in your hometown as well, you're going to see your friends, you're going to see your family. And, you know, it's always good to have just people every now and again, just have a quick break and a chat to you, have a catch up, because you're always going to see people that you haven't seen for ages, and before you know it, you turn around and they're just there, so that's always nice.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll get you to play a tune, we'll talk more about your music in a bit. What are you going to play for us first?
The first of all, I'm going to play a cover of Nickelback's Rockstar.
Gonna win this life, hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be. Want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in. A king size tub big enough for 10 plus me. I need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black jet with a bedroom in. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet. Trade this life for fortune and fame. I'll even cut my hair, change my name. We all just wanna be big rock stars, living hilltop houses, driving 15 cars. Girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Lost their skinny cause we just won't eat and won't hang out in the coolest bars. VIP with the movie stars. We good gold diggers gonna wind up there. Playboy bunny with the bleach blonde hair. Oh hey, hey, oh, wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, oh, wanna be a rock star. Wanna be great like Elvis. The task, I'm gonna hide some bodyguards, love to beat up assholes, sign some autographs and eat my meals for free. Gonna dress my ass in the latest fashion, get a front door key to the Playboy mansion. Gonna date a centerfold who loves to blow my money for me. I trade this life for fortune and fame. I'll even cut my hair, change my name. Just wanna be big rock stars, living hilltop houses, driving 15 cars. Girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Lost their skinny cause we just won't eat. I won't hang out in the coolest bars. VIP with the movie stars. The good gold diggers gotta wind up there. Playboy bunny with the bleach blonde hair. Oh, high out in the private rooms. Latest dictionary of the day's who's who. Won't get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Oh, hey, hey, wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, wanna be a rock star.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. That was fab. You're doing, you know, your own work as well. So give us Nickelback. Are they one of your musical influences?
Well, yeah, obviously it's like, I like to get a big variance with in my musical taste. So whether it's older things, say from Oasis, Red Hot Chili Peppers, bring it up into Nickelback and later on into like the newer things from like Passenger, Ed Sheeran. It's always good to mix it up and especially get different styles of music as well.
And, you know, when you're writing, because are you performing predominantly with Emily at the moment? So,
well, I've got a lot of rock musicians that I do perform with. Emily, I've known for a really long time. We've been friends for ages, and obviously both being interested in music, it always helps.
When you're sitting down writing, what are you writing about?
I always get asked this, and with writing, it's you've got to write about things that are going on, because obviously you can crack out a pop song that just means anything to anyone.
So you said they're writing songs about singing outside KFC in Wolverhampton and
not quite to that extent, but obviously it's like, if you're gonna write, make sure you can write about things that have meaning to you. It just puts more feeling into the song, you know what I mean? So like one of the songs that I'll be playing soon, it's about my dad basically, and how he obviously from when I was younger, he's always pushed me and just helped me through everything.
I suppose that goes down quite well with dad.
Of course it goes down well.
Yeah,
with dad,
feed
it?
The ego. And then when you need a lift somewhere or your college course fees paying, he's there for you.
Come walking down the stairs and walk aside, but dad, come on.
I wrote a song about you and everything.
Remember the old times.
Yeah. And, I mean, what's going on at the minute? Are you gigging as well as doing the busking?
I've done a few gigs. The latest one I did was at the Claregate pub. I've also had a couple of us lined up. I think I've got one in Stafford coming up soon, which I need to get confirmation on that, but I've been asking around. But other than that, it's take what it comes.
And you've got a Facebook page where you put all this sort of stuff?
I have indeed. That's www.facebook.com/CTmusic63.
Any relevance to the 63?
It's just I needed to make it unique, didn't I?
So it's a good number. No, so it could be your IQ, it could be anything. Okay, so we're going to hear one of your songs now. What's this one called?
This one now is called Don't Wish Your Life Away. 1, 2, 3, 4.
When I was young, my father said to me, hey, Marcus, you can be what you want to be. You're soaring, you're flying, your head in the clouds. You can be great and stand out of the crowd. Son, there is one thing that I have to say. Those 5 words to say it all. Don't wish your life away. 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 As I get older, I know what that means. I wanna go back to when I was 13. Life was easy, not a care in the world. No job, no homework, no stress over girls. But son, there is one thing that I have to say. Those 5 words that say it all. Don't wish your life away. 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 So from my old man, there's one thing I've learned. Life's not a straight road, it's full of twists and turns. I know that sometimes you'll have a bad day. Just remember those 5 words and don't wish your life away. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish your life away.
Now, Connor, thank you for that. Yeah, bit of background to the song, then, is that's not the one about your dad, is it?
It was indeed.
There's a clue in the words. What was his reaction when you presented him with that? Did you gift wrap it for Christmas or something?
Well, actually, the first time I played that song in front of my dad was actually during one of my gigs, and that was at the Claregate pub.
Oh, please tell me you cried.
Well, he didn't quite cry, but he did have a big soppy, wet face on him. Very big smile.
That's cool.
But Yeah, so it's obviously it's like, I remember once he says to me, he's like, oh, I can't wait until I'm 18. I can't wait until I finish college. And I remember he just sat down and just says, don't wish your life away. Mm-hmm. He says, because before you know it, you're 60 and you got your kids and grandkids and just live it as it comes, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're on the right apology, you're about 19 now, aren't you?
I am 19.
Yeah, so you're getting on a bit now, so you want to be careful, I'll tell you. Right. Okay, we'll have more from you in a bit, okay?
No worries.
And if we go to the phones, we should find Jeff Tristram.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, how is Mr. Tristram?
I'm very well, thank you.
See, I know that because I saw you yesterday at your exhibition.
Yeah.
Your exhibition, which we mentioned, because it's taking place at Hemley Hall, because it comes to an end this Sunday.
It does indeed.
Now, Sunday the 7th is the last day.
That's it. It's been going on for about 212 years now, and it's finally wrapping up on the 7th, so... miss it or miss out, as they say.
Yeah, people have got plenty of time this week to go and get up there.
You'll never get a chance to see all those pictures in the same room again.
And it is magical. I mean, it's not a massive room, but it still took, a good hour and a half to go around it yesterday and read all the little notes and everything that's part of it.
Yeah, well, that was a deliberate ploy, to be honest, because people can walk around exhibitions in about 45 seconds normally. So I put little notes on all the pictures to just slow them down and make them read the amusing sort of anecdotes and things. And it holds them in there for a good hour.
So you don't want to let them out that soon?
Oh, you stood guard on the door yesterday so they couldn't get away?
I go over and introduce myself to them and say, look, I'm going to talk to you about my work, whether you want me to or not. And I just bore them rigid.
You had a fan club in there as well. It was quite impressive. It was nice. I always like it when the artist comes to talk to me because I haven't spotted them yet. But then everyone was just sort of flocking around you.
I know. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Any autographs?
Oh, it was quite funny because I went up with my brother not long ago, and this very pretty 35-year-old woman came walking across the floor to me and David, and her face went all flushed and red. And she said, "Could you sign my book for me?" And David just gave me one of those looks. That said it all. You need to know David to understand the look he gave.
But it doesn't happen with playwrights, does it? Because you can't sign something on stage.
Well, it's quite funny because I said, "Wouldn't you like his autograph? Because he's more famous than me." And she said, "No."
That's a shame.
I know. Bless him.
So, aside of the celebrity going to your head, it's been a really well-received exhibition. They were telling me down there that they'd seen more people through this one. It's been busier than many of the ones that they've had recently. And you've been flogging jigsaws out of it as well.
Oh, I've been flogging everything. Well, the thing with my kind of work is that it's not paintings of, sort of fine art paintings to hang on the wall and pictures and portraits and things. Most of it's commercial stuff. So there is an end product, like a jigsaw or a fine art print or a greetings card or whatever. So, of course, I've got something to sell. So I've got all the jigsaws up there and tins with cats on and, greetings cards and all sorts. And it's good because the originals are £1,000 plus, so most people can't afford those. But they can buy a greetings card for £2.50 or a jigsaw for £7 or £8. And, they feel like they've bought part of it then, which is good.
Their own little bit of Jeff Tristram at home.
Exactly.
People can start buying for Christmas as well, can't they now? So
yeah. Well, that's why I've taken all my Christmas jigsaws up there in a hurry.
I've got to put my name down for one of those. What are you on about? You can't keep me one back.
Yeah, I'll keep you on if you want.
That's cool. So the exhibition comes to an end, but then what happens next? Everything that's been loaned out goes back to wherever it was loaned from.
Yeah, well, I've been lent stuff from all over the planet, you see. So the nasty part next week is getting it all back to the owners in one piece. And they've just sort of stripped their walls. And I didn't tell them in advance that it was a 20-week exhibition. They thought they were me a picture for 2 weeks. But then I dropped it on them and they couldn't say no then.
Well, no, but you did them a quick caricature of what was there in the first place, I hope.
No.
Oh. Even so. But it was nice meeting the plywood sheep after we'd talked about it so much during that nasty bump on the head, which we did as the talking book, the audio book.
The legendary plywood sheep, yeah. The security, security call van was waiting outside to take it home to Quarry Bank or wherever it comes from. It's looking a bit sad now, though, isn't it? It's about 50 years old and one of his ears fell off.
It's happened to you too, so... Yeah. Oh, no, that's Van Gogh, isn't it? I get those artists confused.
Do you know that joke about this man walks into a pub and Van Gogh sat up the corner having a drink And he goes over to him and he said, "Oh, Vincent van Gogh, would you like a pint?" And he said, "No, I've got one here."
Oh.
Bales of tumbleweed.
Yeah. Zoe got it, which is quite impressive.
Going through the street.
Yeah. So, get yourself down there. It's free to get in, 2 through till 5 o'clock.
That's it.
Yep. At Himley Hall.
And if you go on Sunday, the tea shop's open and they do lovely cake.
As long as there's not a blooming wedding on.
No, well, there was a wedding on yesterday.
How was that yesterday?
Normally
was
the
it?
Tea shop is open on Sundays.
So you've made a special booking for it to be open for your last afternoon. You're popping in for a bit as well.
I'm going in for my last afternoon. I'd probably wear something, you know, like a dinner suit as a kind of mark of respect for the last day.
Do you mean dinner down your suit again?
Yes. So if all the people mm-hmm. who want to come and say hello turn up next Sunday, I shall be there. And
expect to buy something for him to sign.
A little tear in the eye as I wave goodbye mm-hmm. to the door.
And it's not your contact lenses playing up because you wear glasses.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's well worth seeing. So, what is lined up next? Is there any more artwork going to be seen anywhere in particular or any big projects that we should know about?
Well, stacks more Ravensburger jigsaws in the pipeline. We're doing a bake-off one.
Oh, that should be fun.
And listen to... Have you got a second?
For you, always.
Well... I shouldn't be telling you this because it's all sort of in the planning at Ravensburger. You know, it's all deadly secret. But they wanted to do a bake-off one. And I thought, oh, OK, well, I've never watched it in my life, so I watched it the other night just to see what it's about, you know. And there's all this talk of soggy bottoms and...
And baked Alaska's and going wrong.
Yeah, and all yes. there's like all this espionage and sort of, you know...
it's very exciting.
In all the newspapers. And my idea for doing the bake-off was to have a woman who's told she's got a soggy bottom on a cake and, in an act of revenge, she sabotages everyone else's cake in the competition. So then you've got sort of... cake so heavy that they go right the way through the floor of the marquee, you know, and cake so big because there's so much yeast in them and laxative in them and people are rushing off and she's saying, who's got a soggy bottom now and all the rest of it. And then lo and behold, it all comes true.
It's life imitating art once more.
It is, yeah, and I actually thought, you know, you need to know the programme, but I thought a good title would be, we could do one which was a bit like Streetwise called Baking Bad. You know.
Oh, yes.
And then, lo and behold, the Sun used my headline on Sunday morning for this Baked Alaska incident. So, yeah. Anyway, so...
You've got to come up with some new ideas now, haven't you?
Well, I don't know. I could always stick with that one. But we've got lots more jigsaws coming up. And then I've got my JB's book. I don't know if
you that. We've talked about that. So JB's, yes. The history of the music venue over
it's
in Dudley.
The history of the legendary JB's club in Dudley and its three venues, which is the football club, for those who are old enough to remember. And then the classic one, the best one, was the back of Pathfinder clothes shop in King Street. And then it moved down by the zoo after that. And it was at Junction 10 in Walsall for a bit as well. But the classic one is the King Street one. And it's going to be a big, iconic picture book, like a coffee table book, with fantastic sort of... It reads like a comedy novel. It's great. And it's got all these mm-hmm. photos and anecdotes and things. And some of the anecdotes are absolutely priceless. I mean, it's worth the £15 just for the Freddie Mercury one alone.
OK, well, don't say any more than that. So, what do people do to pre-order that? Because there's going to be a little while before...
It's only sort of half written, and then there's all the graphic design has to be done. So it'll be after Christmas sometime, I suppose. But
and can people buy in advance to get their name in the back, anything like that? Or?
Well, you can... We're going to number them, mm-hmm. and the design, I think I can tell you, is based on the old JB's membership card, so it's like a sort of iconic, swirly 1930s Art Deco thing, for those who remember the original membership card, and they're all numbered at the back, so we're going to number the books as well, and we're even going to put in some blank pages at the back for people to get autographs from famous rock stars in it.
Or you.
Or me. That's right. I can devalue any publication with my autograph.
That's all good. So news of that one will be on your website, as well as you'll be talking to us, I trust, as soon as that all comes together.
Yes, we will. Just sort of watch the newspapers and things after Christmas, because they're going to do a big splash on it. And we've got a few very famous people writing a chapter in it or a paragraph in it. So look out for that as well.
Oh, sounds good.
Very, very famous people.
So what's the web address for Everything Tristram?
Everything Tristram is to be found at www.jefftristram, that's Jeff the English way, G-E-O-F-F, not the filthy American way, jefftristram.co.uk.
And Tristram we better spell as well.
Oh, it's Tristram.
Yes. So the lovelorn goat again, isn't it, I think?
That's it, yeah.
That's the way. Right.
Sad goat.
So, yeah.
Trist means sad in French, doesn't it? And Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a worry. That says it all. Right, Jeff, lovely speaking to you as ever, and enjoy the last week of your exhibition for now, and I'm sure there's going to be a bigger, better one somewhere posh sooner or later.
No, that was my first and last exhibition.
You sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll hold you to that then.
If you don't see it there, you won't see anything at all, ever.
Go now, Himley Hall.
Sorry to sound dramatic, but it's true.
2 through 5 o'clock each day between now and the 7th of September.
Lovely.
40 years watching paint dry. I'm sure it'll seem like more. Right, catch you later. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Connor, you're still here in the studio.
I am indeed.
And we're going to make it work one more time. Another one of your songs this time around.
It is indeed.
What have we got?
This one's called In the Start.
What's this one about?
This one, it's written about a girl, but at the same time, it's more of a general song as well. So with the lyrics, it's kind of living in, hopefully be able to get some relevance into situations that you've gone through.
Okay, we'll pay close attention and you sing the song for us, all right?
Yeah, no worries. All right, 1, 2, 3.
In the start of our dream, we can fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way. Life is full of disappointments and shattered dreams. As the world around you falls apart at the seams, nothing is ever as bad as it seems. Reality never lives up to your dreams. In the start of our dream, we can fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way. In the start of our dream, fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way. Always been a shadow of who I'm supposed to be. People adding pressure, making me not be me. People don't understand just what I mean. So I will stay in the depths of my dreams. In the start of our dream, we can fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way. And I'll break free of everything that's not me, and I will find the person that is deep inside. In the start of our dream, we can fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way. In the start of our dream, we can fly away, we can fly away. 'Cause the stars in your eyes, they will guide my way, they will guide my way.
Connor, brilliant. Right, we've got one more song to come from you a bit later on, okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Sunday the 14th of September seems a Simon and Garfunkel story. Arrive at the Robin 2 in Bilston to tell us all about it. The man who is taking the part of either Simon or Garfunkel. Which one is it, Dean?
It's Paul Simon.
Ah, you get to be Paul Simon. He's Dean Elliott. He's celebrating the 50th anniversary of their work together.
That's right, yeah, 50 years since they recorded and released the song The Sounds of Silence, believe it or not.
That is quite frightening, because I remember my sister playing that badly on the recorder when I was a kid. And it's one of those songs that's pretty much endured, hasn't it, really?
It really has. You know what, I saw Paul Simon's solo performance at Liverpool about... cool, about 3-4 years ago, and he had all the bells and whistles, you know, the full band doing the Graceland thing, and then they all left the stage and he played Sound of Silence by himself, and in an arena full of Scousers you could hear a pin drop. I mean, literally, it was just an incredible, I mean, the lyrics and the lyrics still hold sort of truth nowadays, and it's just such an epic song, you know, at the time and still now. It's, you know, it's a masterpiece.
There's so much in the back catalogue, it must be a nightmare deciding what's going to go into the show, but I suppose that's also sort of guided by the film and photos that you've got that are being projected on the screen behind you.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, the show runs two stories simultaneously. It's in chronological order. We all met doing Buddy the Musical, so it was in the same vein of that, really. It follows their story. And what we do is we tell the story of those two, you know, which were, you know, just two best friends, grew up together and became sort of, you know, household names together, and then the highs and lows of that. And also we run, I don't know, a lot of people probably know, but their time recording ran parallel with the 1960s, which of course is, like, you know, arguably the most important decade for, you know, social change, and a lot of things happened in that, you know, in that decade. So we also tell the story with the aid, as you quite rightly say, of the video projections and the film footage and the images. We run what was happening in the world around them at that time. So two stories running in tandem.
So Johnny Smart is your Art Garfunkel, and this is one of his first main jobs out of acting school, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we did a nationwide search to find an art, and we auditioned. Cool. Well, we must have had over 100 applicants going for it. And this chap sort of turned up, long blonde hair, he was the first one in that day. And I remember it. You know, I remember him walking in, and there was a panel of us, you know, a bit like X Factor or something. And and he sang Bridge Over Troubled Water, and it was incredible. I mean, we get a standing ovation on him singing that by, you know, alone, you know, at the end of the show, never mind sort of getting one right at the end. We weren't expecting it from him. You know, he was incredible. I mean, the guy, he just is Art Garfunkel. He's just, you know, he puts so much emotion into that song and into his singing and into that kind of aloof way that Art effortlessly hits all those high notes. And then, you know, the real deal clincher was at the end. We said, you know, would you up for perming your hair? And he said, yep. And we were like, right, fine, you're booked.
That really is the answer, isn't it? If someone's prepared to perm their hair for you, then they're serious about the role.
It is. But for him, I mean, you know, we're lucky enough to be going into the West End next year. And he's straight out of Birmingham School of Acting. He's from Birmingham. And he, you know, to land that role, you know, after sort of not, you know, not long being out of drama school, it was just a dream come true for him, really.
Yeah. Has it been difficult for him to perform in the show? I mean, like, because obviously because it's his first big production, he may not be used to, like, the touring round and the hours and the scenery and things like that. So is it been difficult for him to settle into the show? Or
you know,
is he,
what?
Is it all quite
it's
easily?
A good question, actually. We've never... everyone else in the show has been doing sort of touring, you know, West End musicals and big theatre for years. And you know what? We've got a really lovely group of people. We really have. Like, going on tour, we're off... in a couple of days, we're off to Scotland for the best part of a week. And, you know, sometimes, you know, with some shows, you go, oh, gosh, I'm not sure if I can handle that. but, you know, actually, with this group of people, it's an absolute joy. They really are a wonderful... I mean, that radiates on stage. Everyone is a Simon and Garfunkel fan, and everyone enjoys it. So I think Johnny sort of slipped in, and I think he's been taken under the wing somewhat by some of the older members of the cast. And yeah. I think, you know, everyone looks out for each other, and he's taken to it like a duck to water, really.
So it's going to be excellent, you know, experience, and excellent for his CV for his next job as well, isn't it?
Well, this one's going on for a while though, isn't it? With the run of in the West End, this is your chance to see it before it hits the big time in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's true. He's already managed to bag one of the UK's best, like, agents, you know, like talent agents, from doing this show alone. So I think it has done great stuff for his CV. But I think he is quite happy, sort of, you know. first job out of drama school, he's in the West End and he's singing Bridge Over Troubled Water to a roaring crowd. Do you know what I mean? It's not a bad job for him.
And all that's backed up by the fantastic live orchestra that you have. So give us a bit of background to the band.
Well, the band are all handpicked by myself. I've worked with all of them independently in the past, and I chose them not only on their talent, but sort of their passion and also, how nice they are as people. But yeah, they're great. I mean, the music isn't easy. I think that's one thing. You know, we're not just two lads with a guitar, you know, sort of singing ballads. You know, it's a lot of people forget that Simon and Garfunkel had a huge back catalogue of music. Some of their songs are quite rocky, quite punky, quite thrashy. Some of their songs, are funny. They're comedy songs. Some of them are jazzy. Some of them are very serious. Some of them are extremely sad. So to form a group of musicians who can faithfully create all of these wonderful arrangements in so many different styles was quite difficult, but we really do have an amazing band behind us, which is great. But of course, you know, the two voices singing in harmony is the iconic thing, and that was a thing that took a long time to get, but you know, we're very lucky to have been able to do that, and I think we do it well, you know.
So it has had some excellent reviews, since it started. So people are going to really enjoy that, I would imagine, if they're going to pop along to it in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, we were very lucky. We had the stage come in the first week, and we were obviously very nervous because, I mean, that's sort of the main publication for theatre, isn't it? You know, and they just raved about the show. So that was wonderful. And we've just had sort of 5-star reviews across the board, really. Do you know what? It's funny, isn't it? The show was made out of love. It was made by an extremely talented bunch of people who had a lot of dedication and a lot of love for Simon and Garfunkel. And it's not been thrown together. It's not a tribute show, so to speak. You know, we're not just sort of playing their songs. You know, it tells their story. It's got so many different levels that, you know, and I'm just really glad that it's getting the recognition that it deserves, because it really is a very sort of beautiful and powerful story, you know?
Well, you can book your tickets now. It is at the Robin 2. The box office number is 01902-401211. That's 01902-401211. Tickets are priced at £15 in advance, £16 on the door. And you want to make sure you got your ticket in time for this one, because it's going to be well worth getting along to see. But before you go, give us the details of your website and stuff and all your Twitter feeds so people can find out and hear a bit of the music. And maybe even, is it possible to buy a copy of the cast recording?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we've got a cast recording and all that good stuff on there. We've also got a theatrical trailer. It's just 1 minute long. It's on our website, which is www.thesimonandgarfunkelstory.com. We're also on Twitter, the S&G Story, and on Facebook, which is just facebook.com/TheSimonAndGarfunkelStory. And those get updated quite often, so you can see where we're coming up and where we're going to, and you know, the sort of all the stories of life on the road, you know.
I'm sure it's really good fun, and you get to be somebody else as well, so once you've finished on stage you can sneak into the bar and have a pint and no one knows it's you.
Exactly.
Johnny will be there with his hair straighteners and everything. Dean Elliott, thank you for joining us. Good to talk to you. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to your show at the Robin 2 in Bilston on the 14th of September.
Lovely. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Stop now.
Bye.
Connor.
Yes.
Time for our last tune from you. It's going to be one of your own arrangements one more time. So is this one of your favourite artist songs again?
Yes, I'm again of...
Is it Lady Gaga?
Not quite.
It's who else might it be? No, it's definitely not Madonna. No, go on, tell us, who is it?
It's Kings of Leon, and it's You Somebody. 1, 2, 3.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see. The painted faces fill the places I can reach. You know that I can use somebody. You know that I can use somebody. Someone like you and all you know and how you speak. The countless lovers undercover off the street. You know that I can use somebody. You know that I can use somebody, someone like you, someone like you, someone like you. In the night as you live it up, I'm off to sleep. I'm waging wars against the poet and the beat. I hope it's gonna make you notice. I hope it's gonna make you notice. Someone like me.
Once again, thank you very much. Time to throw you back onto the streets, literally, so you can go and play guitar and earn some money.
That's fine by me.
And give us your web details again so people can go along and find out more about your music and any studio work. When that comes along, you'll be able to hear that there, won't you?
Oh, yeah, you will indeed. That'll be on www.facebook.com/CTMusic63.
I'm now joined on the line by Katrina Maguire, Health and Inclusion Manager from Wolves Community Trust. Hello.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well.
We catch you wandering across the city on the way to catch your train, so any odd noises in the background we will excuse. However, what's going on with the Community Trust at the moment? Because it's never a quiet time down there, is it?
Never a quiet time at the Trust, Jason. Always busy, always go, go, go. In terms of health, we've got our Black Country in Motion project. That's been running for a year now. Quite an exciting project, part of a wider... part of 14 projects across the country, for England funded, and really all about getting down to the very nitty gritty of what gets the people who are most inactive active. How can we encourage people to get involved in sport? And alongside the actual participation, we're trying to recruit very local volunteers and qualify them in different sport qualifications to lead on sessions and help make the whole project a bit more sustainable.
So it's a case of getting the community involved, helping them to help themselves, and then spreading the good word about some of the things that can be done.
Very much so. And also, it's not us going into the community, Jason, and thinking we know best. It's actually finding out from the local community what they want to do. So if you want to be more active, what activities are you interested in? What sports would you like to do? And how can we make it easier for you to participate and or volunteer in those sports?
So you've got to set them up with what they want to do, but then how do you manage the costs for them?
This is the ongoing challenge, isn't it, really? It's all about trying to build infrastructure to make sustainable activities in the local community. Cost is always going to be a barrier. For the 3 years of the project, cost isn't so much of an issue because the project is funded. However, we want to put some value on these activities, so we do, wherever possible, charge a fee. That might be anything from £1 to £2, but there has to be some value put on the activity, and that in turn will make it more sustainable. And the idea is that we support the volunteers to deliver sessions for an initial period of time. After that, we want to make the project financially viable for the volunteers to continue delivering those sessions themselves. So that involves working with the venue, the community centres, and helping them see that the benefit is wider than just finance. for the centre, so it's actually benefiting your local community. If you can work with us, give us reduced waste, and we can build more sustainable activities happening regularly in your community.
And it gets some people through the door to spend at coffee shops and bars and things like that as well, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. It's looking at the bigger picture. You know, it's not just about getting people involved in sport. It's the wider agenda of sport. It's social, it's, you know, everything else that can come alongside it. Exactly. Not just the venue cost, but actually people are coming using your centre more. And we are in a time where centres, a lot of community centres, are fighting for survival. So they can generate more usage in the long term. It's actually going to benefit them.
Yeah, often to work for a council, they need to prove the footfall coming through the centre. It's not necessarily always about making a massive profit. It's about breaking even and making sure the staff that are there are being utilised.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of community centres that we are working with are seeing that now, are seeing the wider benefits. So we're getting there on that one. We're getting there.
And any other specific projects that are happening at the moment? I know there's been a lot of work with towards diabetes and avoiding type 2 diabetes in particular. Where are we at that project at the minute?
So the diabetes project has been extremely successful. That's run for the last sort of 4 years. And we actually had it was basically, just as a reminder, Jason, that was all about delivering structured education to people diagnosed with type 2 diabetes to help give them the skills and knowledge to manage their condition more effectively. And to prove or sort of measure the impact of the project, we commissioned Wolverhampton University to do an independent service evaluation to look at outcomes. So actually, if we're investing all this money in a project like this, does it actually work? Can we capture some evidence, take some baseline figures and add some figures later on and make some comparisons? And the results of that study were really, really positive and showed that actually participation in the programme had a massive impact for people with diabetes. It helped them to manage the condition more effectively, reducing risk factors that may, if not reduced, increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. It helped them in their self-esteem and their confidence in managing the condition. And they were just really satisfied with taking part in the project. So we're at the stage at the moment where we're sort of presenting those findings to the new clinical commissioning group to try and get some funding to continue delivery of experts. So as a whole, really successful project, and we're just in that interim period now of trying to secure some additional funding.
So watch this space kind of and see where this one goes next.
Exactly, Jason, exactly. But it would be a real shame to lose something that's built such momentum in Wolverhampton over the last 4 years. It'll be a shame to lose that right now. So we're really working quite hard on that at the moment.
You keep pushing at that one. Meanwhile, though, there's loads of other activities taken on as part of the Community Trust, and a lot of these are listed on the website, I take it.
A lot of them are, yeah. We've also got our ongoing work around inclusion. So our KICS project, which I'm sure you've heard of before, all around working very closely with Westmead and Police, giving opportunity to young people on Friday, Saturday nights and other evenings during the week. To get them involved in something where in areas where there might not be a lot else for them to do. Also then, big volunteering programme alongside that, similar to Black Country Motion, really trying to get some of those young people upskilled in different qualifications that may be relevant to helping us deliver the kick, but will also build a CV profile for that young person and help them be more employable in the future.
Yeah, and to be involved in something like that, sometimes it's often good just to have a talking point in an interview, rather than just turning up and going, yeah, I've done some exams. To actually show you've got a personality and a life outside of school, work or college can really make a difference.
I think so. And really, I think on anybody's CV, if they've got some volunteering experience, it's extremely beneficial because actually this person is not getting paid for that work. So if they can get up and get involved in things for free, well, that stands in a good sense, actually, making them more employable as well, Jason, I think. And also, I think what we sometimes overlook is working for Wolves Community Trust and being part of Wolves, actually how much of an influence that has in the local community, how we can use that to sort of empower young people, well, people of all ages, really, to get involved in things that we do at the Trust, but also to empower, sort of upskill themselves in things that might happen in the future.
So give us the web details so people can find out more about not only Black Country in Motion but also all the other work as well.
Yes, so it's a quick summary of everything that we've got going. Well, not everything we've got going, some things we've got going on, but for all the details of everything else, you can look at our website, www.wolvescommunitytrust.com. wolvescommunitytrust.org.uk.
So yeah, wolvescommunitytrust.org.uk is where you can find all the info out and see how you can get involved in some of this stuff that's taking place throughout the Wolverhampton and surrounding areas.
Yeah, exactly. Please have a look on the website and get involved.
Brilliant. Katrina, thank you for joining us. I'll let you go and get your train now, okay?
No worries. Thanks, Jason.
Now for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for us this week.
Yes, it is indeed.
And hopefully you're going to be well enough to join us in the studio next week, okay?
I will do. I definitely.
Fingers crossed.
I'm going to ban all young children with diseases from the house.
That's probably the best way of doing it, I tell you. But there we go. Right, we'll see you soon. I hope you feel better as well. Okay, Zoe?
Thank you.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.